This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. In the old days, you had only a few ways of finding a person of the opposite sex to date. Technology has changed all that, and yet our guest today, who has been dating since her teens, still hadn't found the right man. So she decided to take a different approach. What would happen, she thought, if she approached the task scientifically? She then committed a year of her dating life to trying mainstream and unconventional methods of meeting potential mates. She wrote a book about it, The Science of Single. That is also the title of her blog, and it will be the subject of this hour as we welcome Rachel Mahacek to our studios here in Charlotte and WFAE. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Very nice to have you here. And I know the snow has screwed everything up for you because you came here for a book signing, which was postponed
right.
And all that good stuff. But
right.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you could make it in for this conversation.
Yes, me too.
The scientific experiment, this adventure, it all started, I understand, according to your book at least, with one particularly bad date, a person you found online. What was wrong with him?
Well, we just did not hit it off. There wasn't
to put
really,
it mildly.
To put it very mildly. He was not terribly friendly. Or maybe he was just nervous and his nerves got the best of him. But our date consisted of me jumping through hoops, trying to get him to smile and to laugh and to basically keep the show going. And he just wasn't really that into it. And unfortunately, during the date, we had talked about where we lived and we realized it was the same neighborhood. So we had to walk back that way together. And so we did, and that was a 10-minute walk. And it was continued to be excruciatingly terrible. And at the end of it, he kind of ran away from me. he did not stop to say goodbye, and he just kept going and picked up his pace and said, "Nice to meet you," as he jogged away. Over his shoulder, he said, "Nice to meet
you." Now, was that him? Was it you? Was it the lack of chemistry? Was it what you ate? What was it?
I would like to say it was him. I've been on a lot of dates since then, mm-hmm. and some of them haven't been that great, but at least the person on the other end was interested in just talking and getting to know me. So I do kind of blame him a little bit.
But how different was he when you met him in person and spent an evening with him than what he projected on his online profile? Because you met him online.
I did meet him online. I wasn't terribly interested in him, to be quite frank with you, when I met him online. I was just getting back out there.
Why did you go out with him?
Okay, well, I was just getting back out there. I had gone out with them. I had been pining for this other guy for years, and I had gone to visit him in December of 2005. And it was a terrible visit. Like, I kind of thought something was going to happen finally, and it just fell flat, and I was a little heartbroken. So that January, which was 5 years ago, probably to the date, I decided that I would just put myself back out there and only date people in my zip code. And no more romantic eggs in the 3,000-mile-away basket.
Right.
So he was this date.
On the rebound.
Yeah, I was kind of on the rebound, and I just needed to go on a good date. I just needed to get out there because, dating is hard. I mean, even now after I've gone through
this horrible whole
experiment, I don't find it horrible anymore.
Okay. All right.
There are definitely...
Really? After I read your book, you don't find it horrible?
I think sometimes it can be, but then sometimes you go on really good dates.
Okay.
So
there weren't many in there.
There were good dates in there.
Right.
There were good dates, but there were definitely some terrible ones in... And they deserve to be written about.
Well, this guy, when you met him online, he sent you, as I understand this, he sent you an email saying, "Can I buy you a drink?"
Right.
And you went out and you went out to dinner. And when the check arrived for dinner, he put it between the two of you, indicating that this is going to be a Dutch meal. This is not going to be, "I'm not going to buy you dinner." Did he buy you the drink?
No, he didn't buy anything, which, you know, it was fine. But it was, to me, with when it comes to paying the check, often, I think when guys want to split it, not always, but it kind of means they're not interested. Mm-hmm. And it did kind of throw me off because we met for a drink and then it was like, "Oh, well, why don't we just get some food?" Because it was around dinner time. And I don't know why I extended the date, but I have this bad habit of pounding square pegs in round holes. So he put the bill right in front of us and, you know, definitely was itemizing and And I wanted to say to him, hey, how about that drink you promised me? But
Why didn't you?
I just wanted to get it over with.
Okay.
At that point.
It's not just anecdotes in the book. There are some studies that you point out in the book that talk about America's dating habits, I guess.
Right.
Early in the book, you mentioned a Pew Research study, the Pew Internet and American Life Project,
right,
that I had never heard of, which said that just 16% of singles said they were currently looking for a romantic partner. In other words, most eligible singles in America aren't dating.
Right.
Why? Did that surprise you, and why is that?
It did surprise me, and I don't know why, to be honest. I think they had some ideas that revolved around the fact that dating is hard, and why date in a horrible situation when you can have fun by yourself? But I think that their results in that respect, that was sort of a surprise finding from the study that they did, but they weren't even looking for those results. So they didn't have a whole lot of conclusions about that.
Is that why you suppose people today are waiting longer to get married? Because if you don't date, you're not going to find anybody. So you're going to have to wait to find somebody. And if you find somebody, then you get married, maybe.
Right. I think some of it has to do with, women are waiting longer, and they right. have been for over the last few decades because of the women's movement, and they, all of a sudden could, start advancing in their career, and they didn't just get married to have kids, in their 20s. And so I think women have, discovered other choices for their lives.
All of that's lessening the urgency of mm-hmm. dating and
right.
the urgency of getting married. And I would think that if you decide to date after you've participated in this slowdown, that it's even harder to
yeah.
get back into the scene.
It is.
Have you found, because during this year of scientific dating, which we'll talk about, and exactly what...
I use science very, very loosely.
Yes, I know.
Just so you know.
But in this year where you threw yourself into every different situation imaginable, every different kind of dating situation imaginable, did you find it got easier because you were doing it so often for this book?
Yes.
It did?
Yes.
In what way?
I think prior to working on this project, I used to get really, really nervous before going on a date, like really nervous with, I had to do deep breathing exercises, and I would get very sweaty and anxious. And I mean, there's no reason for that except for the fact that I had these huge expectations for this date. And I don't even know that I thought so clearly about these expectations, but I was looking for something more. I mean, most of us when we date are looking for something more meaningful. And I think women are probably more guilty of this than men. But when you go on a date, even if it's the first time and you haven't even met the person because you met them online, there's a part of you in the back of your head that's saying, or the front of your head that's saying, this could be it. This mm-hmm. could be the one. And I think with those expectations, it just made it really, really hard to go in and not be nervous because this might be my future husband. But I've gotten a lot better. I mean, I feel like I kind of came out on the other side after writing this book. I go into a date now and I know that that's all it is. And I'm happy just to get to know someone and not, dump these huge expectations on this poor stranger.
Now, you live in Washington, D.C.
I do.
You are a contributing editor to a publication up there called Washington Flyer Magazine. Your writing has appeared in The Washington Post, in Maryland Life Magazine. You have a blog, The Science of Single.
Right.
In your work as a writer, writing on a number of different topics. I mean, didn't you all, in the book you talk about writing, you told one date that you wrote for, American Log Home Magazine? What's that?
I used to work for okay. Log Home Living Magazine.
Well, you meet a lot of different people as right. a writer because you have to go out and interview people.
Yep.
Did that help or hurt, or did you always separate that from your dating life? That was my professional life. I don't mix that with my dating life.
I always separated it. And,
is that wise?
Do you mean like separating...
I mean, if you meet somebody at the Washington Post or you meet somebody on an assignment
oh.
that you like.
Oh, no. Yeah. I thought you meant something else. Sorry. That's always up for grabs. I think wherever you meet someone, if you can find someone that you like, it shouldn't matter where you meet someone. I mean, unfortunately, at the magazine, at the Log Home Living magazine, it was mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
And with the freelancing assignments, you're not actually working in the building with the people.
Well, this is a big city. Washington, D.C. is a big city. And it's not
big
just
city, but it's also kind of a small town.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, when you cross the Potomac into Alexandria and Arlington, they know people about, they know people in Washington? I grew up there. I know this stuff.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, okay, this is all relative. I mean, Charlotte's, well, Charlotte's pretty, I mean, there's about 600,000 people in Washington proper. Uh-huh. So.
In the district.
In the district itself, yeah. I mean, once you open up to the metropolitan area, I think it's like one or two.
And do you normally confine yourself to the District of Columbia?
It depends. It depends. Right. I'm a lot more open-minded about dating in Virginia and Maryland. But, you know, there's also a practicality thing. Like, dating someone 40 minutes away.
It's hard.
That's hard. That's a commute. And I commuted to work for 7 years, and I don't really want to repeat that anymore.
Yeah, and if, you know, dinner dates. If you're working in Washington, D.C., and the other person's working in Rockville or Herndon or someplace like that.
Right.
You'll be meeting for dinner at 11 o'clock.
Right. And also, you know, if they live out there and own a home out there, does that mean that I'm going to move out there if it works out? I mean, that's jumping the gun a bit. But
so you've been, as I said in the beginning, you've been dating, as most people start dating in their teens. You've been dating since your teens, and you're not a teenager anymore. You're a career person, and you've been in the career field for a while. I'm not going to ask you how old you are. That would be impolite. But for a while, you've been dating.
I have.
How has dating changed since that first date as a teenager through your college years and now into your professional years? What's different about it?
You know, my first dates in high school were kind of formal. Like, the guy would pick me up in his car. Maybe his parents are driving us, and we would go to dinner and a movie, and he would pay, and it was pretty traditional. In college, it's just one big free-for-all. You know, I think I went on maybe one or two official dates, but then you're just meeting people and you're together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that extends into your 20s to some extent. And I think by my mid-20s, I started dating for real again, where you'd go on a date and maybe a second, and you actually go through this process versus being mashed into a relationship right away in college. And now it's kind of a, you know, I'm in my mid to late 30s, and it's kind of a mishmash of it. Like, some people still, like, some guys I go out with still just want to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people that are more interested in having a much more formalized date.
Is it changing because you're an adult and you're obviously the people that you're dating are adults? Or is it changing because society has changed? You already mentioned that women have more options now. They don't have to find a guy to be successful and to take care of themselves. They're looking at career. So are men. Men are looking at establishing themselves in their career before having a family.
Right.
In many cases, is that what's driving it, or is it simply that you're older and that's driving the change?
It's probably a combination of the two, I would have to say. Definitely a combination.
Is it? High school dating was odd to me, which is
awkward at best.
Awkward at best. So is it less awkward now? Is it more awkward? Do you know? Or is it more awkward because more is expected sometimes? Quicker.
That is actually a problem sometimes, because I think in one of the online dating sites that I've used, they ask you a question of, like, you know, when do you usually have sex with someone? And the answers are after one or two dates, then 3 to 5 dates, then 4 to 6 dates. And it's a tough one to navigate.
Yeah. Rachel Mahacek is our guest. She's the author of a book called The Science of Single, and we'll talk about her scientific experiment in dating when we come back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members in James McElroy and Deal, Counsel for the Life of a Business. Practical solutions to everyday and unforeseen problems, serving the Charlotte area over 50 years. Details at jmdlaw.com. I want to remind you, we did pre-record this interview about the science of single earlier this week due to the inclement weather, and so we won't be able to take your phone calls this morning. Tomorrow, however, we are live back in studio on Charlotte Talks with Rosemary Warren Green. She's the wife of Charlotte Symphony conductor Christopher Warren Green, and she has her own successful music career as a violinist and frequent concertmaster for several famous film scores. We'll talk to her about her work and about how she benefits young violinists. Also, we'll talk to the founder of the Carolina Theater Preservation Society in the second half of the program about the efforts that his group and others are doing to save that uptown historic landmark. That's all tomorrow, live in studio on Charlotte Talks at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm show, the shooting rampage in Arizona prompts a new look at gun laws, renewed debate over gun control, and prospects for stricter legislation.
That's the Diane Rehm Show. It airs weekday mornings from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks, here on your NPR news source, 90.7 WFAE, listener-funded radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking today with Rachel Mahajak, who is the author of The Science of Single. It's a really lighthearted look at dating in the real world today after having several difficult experiences. She embarked on a year of approaching dating as a scientific adventure. Is an experiment the right word?
I call it an experiment throughout the book. And it was an experiment in the sense of I was experimenting with different things and taking a bit of a scientific approach in the sense of being more of an observer in my life versus fully entrenched in the dating process so I could, you know, see what was going on. So that was the scientific part.
I was going to say, what makes it scientific?
Because that's all.
Okay. did you set out to say, okay, these are the parameters that I will judge these dates on, or these people on, or this is what will make it successful if it is successful, and this is what will make it a failure? Did you keep a chart of how many you thought were successful or failures? I mean,
no, it was not like that at all.
So how was this really different, except that it's a way to write a book?
It created a more systematic approach, which I was not taking prior to this.
Okay.
And it also created a situation where, I was trying things I had never tried before. And I don't think I would have done that without this idea of it being an experiment. I think almost treating it like a job, almost like, you know, going out and reporting on something, it made it easier for me to do that.
Did you know you'd be writing a book about this?
I did. It was always going to be a book.
Always going to be a book. Did the people that you dated know that they were either guinea pigs or they were going to be written about?
Some did and some did not.
What was their reaction when they did?
Well, the people that knew about it prior to the going on a date with me, they were all fine with it, obviously. These were setups through friends, and I felt very uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable always. I always felt like I was lying to a certain extent. But the people that I went out with through friends, I had them tell the guys that this was an experiment and that I was writing a book.
Did it come up in conversation during the date?
Yep.
So you're going to write about me.
Right.
What are you going to say?
Well, actually, no, it was more of just like what the project was about altogether. Not necessarily about that person.
Well, this is a smart area of the world. The D.C. area is a very educated area.
Right.
So that might have appealed to some people, the fact that they were going to be studied like rats in a lab or just simply written about. That might have been intriguing.
I think some guys are really interested in it. And I think some liked the idea of being documented in this book. And there was one guy that I went out with. So when I went to other cities today and try out dating in other cities, this one guy I went out with in Chicago, he was supposed to know about the book, but I guess our mutual connection didn't tell the guy I went out with. And the guy just thought I was in town for work and that I just wanted to go on a date with someone. And he was kind of, during our date, he was very standoffish and there was just big boundary between him and I. And I was like, what's wrong with him? And then finally, about 45 minutes into the date, he asked me, you know, what I'm doing in town. And I'm like, well, I'm here working on this dating book, and that's why we're on this date. And he had no idea.
Oh.
And then I was like, well, why would you go out with me then? He's like, well, I just wanted to go out with a girl and see what she was like because she's dating like a guy. He wanted to know what kind of girl would go out and date like a guy. That was...
I don't understand that. Do you understand that? I don't get that.
I guess guys are much more proactive and pursue it in the dating practice.
So the people that knew about it and the people that didn't know about it, do they know about it now?
Yep.
All of them know about it. Did you change their name? Did you change
everyone's names?
Their appearance?
I changed details.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you couldn't pick up the book and say, oh, That's me.
Most of the guys, no, the guys will know for sure.
Okay.
But every, you know, unless they told someone that they were in this book, nobody else would know.
Okay.
They wouldn't, like a friend of a guy wouldn't be able to pick up the book and be like, oh my gosh, that's blah, 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 blah.
You have some relatively negative things to say about some of these experiences and some of these guys, to be honest. But did it concern you that
yep.
you were writing about this and it was going to appear in print and these people would know?
Yep. Always. Always.
So, did it change the way you wrote? Were you as brutally honest as you would be if it were just a paper you turned in for school? Or were you less honest because you knew it was going to appear in print?
I think I was completely honest.
Okay.
It was really important for me to detail exactly what happened, how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to embellish any.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to embellish.
Were you concerned about how you might come off in all of this?
Yes and no. I think initially I was, and then I know that I went into this project with a very genuine intent,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't to mislead anyone. It was truly to try to be better at something. And I thought to myself that, you know, when I work on this project, I want it to be a situation where I am only going out with people I would normally go out with. This is something that I should have been doing all along. I just happen to be documenting it. And as long as I change some specific details about these people, you know, there's no harm, no foul. Now, and some guys absolutely were in line with that, and then there are some people that weren't, and it's all about your perspective.
We're going to go through some of the things that you did.
Okay.
Some of the means of dating that you used, and you start in the book, at least, with online dating, which...
Right.
Which didn't count the online dating experience that started all of this, the very negative experience that we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation. What were your thoughts about online dating prior to this experiment, and how did they change, if they changed, as a result of this experiment?
I had previously dated online. When I first started dating online, I was very skeptical, and I think I thought about it like most people do, like, ew, who meets people online? And isn't that kind of scary and dangerous? And there's a certain stigma attached to it. And as I continued to date online, I became less or more comfortable with it and less skeptical. And I think by embarking on this project and dating online in bulk as I did, I became much more at home with the concept. And also I learned how to use the online dating tools a little better. I think I initially started out with these profiles. My dating profile was extremely long and cumbersome, and I just talk and talk and talk about who I am and what I want. And I realized going through this experiment and looking at so many other profiles of guys that when I read a profile that looked kind of like mine, that was really long and essay-like, I kind of didn't like that, and it was a big turnoff. So I learned how to actually date better online. I shortened up my profile, became a little bit more specific about, you know, what I wanted. And then I also, you know, when you go through the process of meeting people online, you become better at determining who's going to work out in person versus, anyway.
I was going to say that there may be people who don't know how one dates online. Unless they have seen the TV commercials for several services, I guess I can name some of them, eHarmony and Match.com and others. Is that how you did it? Did you go through these services, or are there other ways to do it online?
I used Match.com, and then the Onion.com has a personal site. And
isn't the Onion like a comedy?
It is. And they share an online dating database with other alternative weeklies. So like Nerve.com and Salon.com mm-hmm. all share the same database as the Onion. So it's a much smaller site, and it's for more intellectually minded people.
Well, I was going to ask, is there a difference in the candidates that you dated from these various sites? In other words, could you tell when you dated two or three people from the Onion site versus two or three people from the other sites, that these are people from this is the kind of person I'm going to get from this site?
Mostly, though, I have to say there was a lot of crossover. I would see the same guys from The Onion as I would on Match.com, as I did on eHarmony. And now, even 4.5 years later, I've been using OkCupid, and I see the same guys from all those sites from like 5 years ago.
What does that say?
I think it's kind of like MySpace to Facebook. It's, you know, there is a popular way of doing something at that time, and then something new comes along, right, and everyone wants to try it.
And somewhere in this book, you talk about the experience of being, I think you say this, fresh meat on these dating sites.
Right.
Where when you first go on, you're the new kid on the block.
You are, and you are popular.
Okay. Which means what? They check you out, they talk to you, they send you emails, they do, they wink at you?
All of the above. All of the above.
And the longer you stay, what happens? It diminishes?
Yeah, it does, because the number of people, well, partially, the number of people out there who are actively dating is kind of small, I think, compared to how many members this site might claim to have. The people who are actively using it is much smaller than that. And, you know, once one guy has sent you an email and you haven't responded, then, you know, that's one less person. And so if everyone who's, you know, dating online has emailed me and then I, you know, only respond to a couple of them, we're kind of done.
So what, from your experience of this year of doing this, and online dating was only a component of this, but what should we know about online dating if we want to either be successful at it or at least have a good time with someone at it?
Well, first of all, the one major thing is if you are single and want to date, you should be online, because I still hear people turning their nose up at it. And, I mean, we shop online, we work online. Like, it's okay to date online. however, I think the most important thing once you do start dating online is to have a phone conversation before you actually get to the date. And I'm actually
not just an email.
Not just an
actually
email.
Speak to the person.
Right, and don't spend a lot of time on email with this person. I mean, I've met guys and then met online, and we've had emails. We exchanged emails for like 2 weeks. Epic emails. Got to know each other. Had so much chemistry, and then you meet up in person, and it's just nothing. Nothing's there. So don't spend a lot of time emailing and creating a relationship online, and then also have the phone call beforehand.
And that's interesting, because that goes against what one of our producers told me. This producer, they will go gender unknown, told me that they met their special someone, and they have, through online dating. They described it as easier in that you can pre-screen people rather than trolling. These are her.
You gave it away. I knew you were going to do that.
These are their words. You can pre-screen people rather than trolling through prospects at a bar. It's faster because you weed out those who don't do anything for you. That is, I guess, people who don't have your interests or losers.
Right.
It's safer. I'm not necessarily sure about that, but we can talk about that.
Right.
It's more effective because if you do all of the preliminary work well, you'll end up on that first date with someone you're happy with and then pursue the dating experiment from a point of strength. You agree with all that?
Most of it.
Let's go to safer. Is it safer?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it... Probably, yeah. I mean, if you're going to a bar, there's a lot of drunk people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that a group of drunk men is safer than a group of sober men online.
Okay, all right.
You know?
And the business about knowing about them, I mean, if they're telling you the truth about themselves, A, in their profile, B, in whatever conversations ensue, either through email or on the phone, before you know them, if you ultimately meet them, you do know more about them than you would if you just met them at a church function or at a bar or someplace else. On the one hand. On the other hand, maybe you've already given out your best conversation before you meet, and there's nothing left to say.
Well, if that's the case, then it was never going to work out anyway.
All right.
Right?
You wrote something down when I was going through that list.
I did, but let's go through your list first. We'll get to it.
All right. Easier. Is it easier because you screen people?
Yes and yes. Absolutely easier. However, I think there's a tendency to screen out too much. Like, you can be so particular about who you want to date. No, I'm very open to most people. I don't have a lot of criteria.
Okay.
I have an age range and I think my height requirement is 5'8 and up.
Yeah, because you kept running into guys who were shorter. They would say they were tall, but you'd see them and they were 2 inches shorter than
they. Well, online, men tend to lie. There was a study on this. Uh-huh. Men exaggerate their height by 1 inch, though my theory is it's always 2 inches, but whatever. And then in my experience, it's 2 inches. For women, they deduce or they take 10 pounds off their weight.
So men lie about their height, women lie about their weight, and you say, according to this study at the University of Chicago and MIT, that everybody lies about their age.
Yep.
How many years?
Not everybody. I don't lie about my age.
Well, I'm just saying that the Chicago study says,
right,
yeah.
Right. I think that's a common thing to lie about.
Everybody makes themselves younger, I take it.
I would say women definitely make themselves younger. Men might make themselves older.
Now, we actually have two producers here who are involved in online dating.
But not gender
specific. And one of the other producers mentioned the pre-screening process and said that once you get past the lies, height, weight, age, they mentioned screening for smokers versus non-smokers, religion, if that's a factor, whether or not they want the other person wants children, the education level of the person involved. But if you use those things to weed people out, might you also be missing out on something you could not have anticipated about that person that might have made them a good match, even though they're not the same religion or they're not the right height,
right,
or they're not this or that? Or
absolutely.
The other.
And that's actually what I wrote down.
Okay.
You can create so much criteria that you are missing out, and you never know, because I've gone out with guys who, you know, OkCupid will match you and tell you, like, how much of a romantic match you are, how much of a friendship match you are, and what kind of they have an enemy line. So it's like you could potentially be enemies with this person depending on how you answer their questions. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this. And sometimes it's just that X factor.
And also, how can you determine if there's any chemistry if you don't physically meet the person? Maybe they're not a good writer, or maybe they don't know how to approach you in an email or in their bio. But you sit down at dinner with them, or you meet them for coffee someplace, and they're vivacious and they're magnetic, and there's an indefinable spark that doesn't come through on paper or online. Are you missing out?
You are. You can't account for it. You absolutely cannot account for it until you actually meet the person. Because I have had plenty of online chemistry, and it falls flat mm-hmm. when I meet them. And then also, I had this ambiguous friend who I talk about in the book, and we have a lot of chemistry, and we had kind of an ambiguous relationship for a while, mm-hmm. Because we do have a lot of chemistry, but we never really worked out as a couple. But at one point, he had a profile up on the same dating site I did, and I came across it, and I read his profile, and I was like, God, why do I even like this person? Because there was no chemistry online.
We have to take a break. Rachel Mahacek is with us. Her book is called The Science of Single. We'll go into more of her experiment in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and CPCC's Harris Conference Center, a business meeting facility located minutes from Uptown Charlotte, I-77 and I-85. Details at www.harrisconferencecenter.com. Again, a quick reminder, due to the inclement weather this week, we pre-recorded this interview about the science of singles, so we won't be able to take your phone calls, but we will get back to the conversation just ahead. Coming up at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show, a look at renewed calls for gun control. The shooting rampage in Arizona prompts a new look at gun laws, renewed debate over gun control, and prospects for stricter legislation. That's coming up at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show. We get back to our conversation about the science of single just ahead on Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
We're all all used to tech-savvy upgrades for cars and phones and computers, so why, oh why, are we still lugging around plastic cards to pay for everything?
I'm sitting here uncomfortably in this interview with a big chunky wallet in my pocket.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wallets as a thing of the economic past. That and the numbers from Wall Street, today's business news as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
This evening from 6:30 to 7 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHEM. Mike Collins and Rachel Mahacek is our guest this hour. She's the author of The Science of Singles. She spent a year approaching the dating experience as an experiment to see what she could get out of it after many years of not being terribly successful at it, if success is measured by marriage. Let's put it that way. And she joins us for the hour here. Can you trust pictures in the online dating experience before we move on to other topics?
Loosely. Sometimes they're dead on. Someone told me one time, and I think I mentioned this in the book, you take the best picture mm-hmm. of that person and you knock it down two notches, and that is who they will be. They look like in person. And I would say there have definitely been some times where I've met people who actually looked better than their photos. More often than not, it's that formula.
How do you choose your own picture?
Oh, how would I put up?
Yeah, what would you put up? How did you choose the one that you put up?
I usually have a couple pictures up, mm-hmm. Just because I photograph in a really weird way. Yeah. I definitely do not photograph
Many
very
people
well.
Do.
Yeah, yeah, and so I try to put a sample of pictures up and always have them, have your pictures of yourself smiling. That's really important. It makes you look approachable, which you hope to be when you're dating. And, you know, I like to have a close-up. I'm not into, like, some people have bikini shots or, you know, shots with no shirt on for guys, not girls. And I'm not real into that, you know.
People who do that are very confident or looking for something very particular, I would think.
I would say both of those things.
If you decide to take the plunge with somebody, whether it's online dating or some of the other things that we'll talk about, other means of meeting people that we'll talk about here, where should you meet? Under what circumstances should you meet? Because if it's awful, you want it to be over.
Right.
Should it be coffee? Should it be a drink at a bar? Should it be dinner? Should it be in a public park? Should it be at a shopping mall in the food court? I mean, where should it be?
I usually meet for drinks at a bar or a restaurant, hopefully close to my neighborhood because I'm really lazy. mm-hmm. And I make it a drink. Yeah, let's meet for a drink or for coffee. So it's almost like a meet and greet. It's not quite a date yet.
Right.
Every now and again, like I recently went out with someone who suggested, and I met him online, and he suggested, why not make it dinner? And I was like, okay, we seem to be getting along enough online. Let's do it. And if you're open to that, that means you're probably pretty easygoing. So
how'd it work out?
It went great.
Because you can't be stuck at dinner with somebody you just don't have anything to say with. It's to say to. I mean, after a while, there's nothing to talk about.
Right. And then sometimes you meet someone for a drink and it's going really well and they say, hey, do you want to get dinner? And you say, sure. And then 15 minutes later, you have nothing more to talk about. So there's really no difference there.
Are movies a good idea or is it a bad idea? Because you don't talk in a movie.
Can't talk. Okay. Bad idea for a first date.
And some people view online dating particularly as vaguely dangerous because you really don't know much about the person on the other end of the internet. Is it really any more chancy?
I don't think so. Okay. I have never had any. I really have had, I mean, despite some of the dates in this book, I've had a pretty easy time with online dating. I've heard horror stories, and mine don't come near that. Mine are just funny.
So let's go on to singles events, which is something you experimented with in this year of experiment. What's the best and worst thing that ever happened to you on one of these singles events? And they included what? Speed dating and other things?
I don't know that there was a best and worst. I think it was I always met someone. Actually, one of the events I did not meet anyone for a date, but generally I would meet someone to go out with. Actually, no, there was a worse thing.
I knew we'd get to it.
It took me a second there. the best thing, I do have an answer. The best thing was I went to one singles event and I ended up with a date that night after the event. And the guy took me out to this great dinner and ordered this bottle of Cristal and we went salsa dancing and it was so fun. We had such a great time. And I felt like that was really successful because that was actually my first singles event and I went into it with my nose turned up into the air. I was thinking, who goes to these things? This is silly and stupid. And it turned out to be really fun. And I ended with a date, and that was the point.
So what happened to him? That sounded like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And then we went out again, and the red flag started falling very quickly. and it was over very quickly.
Red flags were what?
He picked me up in his car, driven by a driver. It was like a Lincoln Town car, and it was very nice. But the reason he had a driver is because he had two DUIs. In the car, when I got into the car, it was littered with empty Red Bull cans. The Scorpions were playing on the radio, and it was just this really weird scenario.
Yeah,
it just was not very datey. And it seems like he just didn't really try very hard.
Now, I know that this town has speed dating events occasionally, and you participated in speed dating. I know that speed dating saves you from some protracted, painful experience with somebody, because they last, what, 4 to 8 minutes?
Right.
But can conversations that are 4 to 8 minutes and are essentially like musical chairs, when the music stops, you sit down, and when it starts again, you get up, and you move on to the next person, can they really work?
Yes, in the sense of sometimes you just have chemistry with someone. So whether or not you're never going to find out that much about the person in 4 minutes. So really it is all about chemistry. Like, is this enough for us to go and try something on our own?
In one of your speed dating events, you talk about, I guess, sizing up the room, and you noticed that, I can't remember what the gender of the person. I think you saw a really attractive woman there. Is that right? Or is it a really attractive man? And you purposefully went to the next step down.
I went to the whole way down. Yeah, I was intimidated by the really attractive man. What happened was I walked in and there was this really good-looking guy. And I wanted to go talk to him, and then he started to talk to this really good-looking girl. And they just were the kind of well-put-together, pretty people that deserve to be together. and I was intimidated by the whole situation. So I went and talked to the person who was least intimidating, and he was extremely socially awkward and very nice, but, I mean, just he was...
But isn't it? It's an awkward situation.
It is.
I mean, speed dating, it seems to me, requires somebody to have their act together, because you have to have what people in the job hunting business call the elevator speech.
Right.
Here's who you are in the time it takes to go up the elevator.
Right.
And somebody said, "What do? You have to give them your resume in the time it takes to get." And that's essentially what you have to do. You have to sell yourself in 4 minutes, because the other half is you selling yourself to the other person, right?
No, it's not quite that.
Oh, okay.
No, I think sometimes, ideally, but when you're just going from person to person, I think there's a lot of giggling over, here we are at a speed dating event. Yeah. And, there's some people who are really, really serious about it. And then there's some guys, they just want to make you laugh and smile, and they pull themselves out of this elevator speech idea. And it's really refreshing when they do that, actually. You get to see someone who they really are, not who they want to be.
How many people from speed dating experiences did you ultimately have an actual date with? And how successful were they?
I didn't go on a date with anyone from speed dating.
Wow.
And actually, one of the events that I went to, which was speed dating for tall men and women who love them. at the end of it, you write on a piece of paper the people that you're interested in.
Uh-huh.
So the more people that you write about, the more chances you have of going on a date.
Sure.
I only had two people that I was interested in.
They have to be interested in you.
And they have to be interested in me back. They have to have written my name down too.
Right.
And so I got an email the next day from the people who organized the event, and they said, unfortunately, you did not get any dates out of this.
That's crushing.
That's not to say that no one chose you. You just didn't open yourself up to enough people. So it was like... the first blow, no dates. The second blow, and you're too picky.
Now, all right, let's talk about that, because that to me would be crushing.
I was annoyed.
So is that a good? If you've been doing this for a long time and you're still earnestly trying to find the right person, is that the way to do it? To throw yourself into a situation where potentially you're going to be voted off the island?
well, it's not quite that bad. You know, rejection is part of dating. Rejection is part of life, and learning how to take it is really important. And okay. I've never been good with rejection, either dishing it out or taking it.
You devote a whole chapter to blind dates.
Right.
What's the difference between going on a blind date where you don't know much about the person other than the fact that the person who recommended this person says, oh, he has a nice personality,
right.
and going on an online date?
What's the difference? Not much. But I think that one commonality that you have, your friend, it gives you an anchor. So you can always go back to that. Even if there's nothing to talk about and there's no chemistry, you can talk about your mutual friend, mm-hmm. how you know them. And sometimes that leads you into a better conversation. And then you're off. And you don't need that mutual friend commonality anymore. And to me, you know, I think that online dating is safe. But there's something about familiarity with blind dates, because they are, you know, someone's vouching for them. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel more comfortable for some reason. Like it's not out of, you know, the black hole. This person actually has my friend's seal of approval.
So here I am minding my own business, reading your book, sitting behind my desk alone, and suddenly the word Charlotte crops up in my eyes. I was surprised to find in your book a statistic that includes this city. National Geographic crunched Census Bureau numbers that show that West Coast cities have more single men, while East Coast cities are dominated by women. Washington, D.C., your home, and Chicago have 40,000 more single women than men. New York City, 185,000 more single women than men. Charlotte has a mere 5,000 more single women than men. So as a result, you chose those cities, including Charlotte, to have dates in. Actually, you set up two dates for yourself here, and you say that Charlotte is not your kind of town because it's new and clean. But how did the dating go?
The dating was really fun. And in fact, these numbers that you just read off, I had already chosen the cities. These numbers came later, actually.
Okay.
And I chose Charlotte because I wanted a southern city. And I have a friend that lives here, so I had a free place to stay. And someone to help me set up a date.
Right.
So I actually had three dates set up.
Okay.
But one of them had started dating a Bobcat cheerleader. So I was out of the picture. So we did not go out. So I went out on two dates, and they were really fun. They were actually pretty awesome. I had very low expectations, and I honestly do not know why. But they were really fun. The guys were really
Where did you go?
Polite. One of them I went to a wine bar. I can't remember the names of either place.
That's right.
That's terrible.
Fine.
But,
that's right.
So a wine bar and a restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you do describe guys here in their khakis and pastel polos and
no, that was D.C.
That's D.C. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Well, I got it confused because it's kind of like that here too. Sometimes.
It is a little bit like
but
that here.
But button-down bankers is
right,
that you see us as. And what's wrong with new and shiny?
Nothing okay. at all, actually. But you have to. I mean, you have to know. I live in Adams Morgan in D.C., which is dirty
it's not new
and gross.
Yes. It's not new.
So, and for something, there's something about that appeals to me for some reason. So,
and Adams Morgan. I have a friend who lives there. Actually, somebody from NPR lives in.
Is
Adams
he single?
No, but they've lived there since the 1970s. And
oh, wow.
I went to visit in the 1970s in Adams Morgan because I lived in Alexandria. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is vaguely dangerous. I'm not sure I want to park the car.
Right. Not vaguely, inherently.
Yeah, okay. You also had a dating coach at one point in this experiment. I've never heard of such a thing. How common are they and what do they do for you? What do they say to you?
They are becoming more common, more and more common. And I think that they kind of follow along the life coach vein where you're teaching someone to be better at networking and being more opportunistic. And there's a little bit more involved in that too. Mm-hmm. I think they help with some confidence issues and things like that. It's like a,
what did they tell you?
Well, this guy was not quite like that. I wanted him to teach me how to approach guys in public, just no go-between, just me and the dude, and I go talk to them and get a date that way. Because it's like you have to have – I've been using all these different ways of meeting people, but, you know, I walk by men all the time on the street, and I'm too afraid to talk to them. Mm. So I wanted – my dating coach to help me with that. And
Yes, he did.
He had me going out by myself on a Friday night, and I had this whole shtick that I was supposed to use that he laid out for me. And part of it involved Scooby-Doo as my screensaver on my phone, because when I walked into a room, I would look down at Scooby-Doo, and then that would make me smile naturally. And then I would look up and have a natural smile on my face, and men would see that and be attracted to me. And the other part of this tactic is to use your cell phone as a prop, and you're texting your imaginary friend who's valet parking and using that as your way into conversations with men. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe my friend is trying to valet park and I'm here by myself and can I come talk to you? And so his whole idea was to have this story.
Does any of that has any of that led to a date?
Yeah, I improvised his material.
I have 30 seconds. What advice do you have for people? Because I'm not sure what the conclusions I can reach from this book are. Was it a successful year of experimentation?
It was.
What advice do you have for people who are in the same situation?
Be open to the possibilities, all of them, whether it's how to meet someone or who you're meeting.
And this book, which is a lighthearted, humorous look at all of this, will certainly give people ideas about things that they can do to
Absolutely.
Improve their own situation. Rachel Mahacek has been our guest. The Science of Single is the name of the book. And let me tell you, you look much nicer. Your picture's very nice on the back cover.
Thank you.
You look better in person.
Thank you.
You're right about the photographs. Thank you for the hour. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.